Boys and girls, in the early days of the podcast, this bit before the theme music was me apologising for the recording quality. Then the recording quality became fantastic, so I didn't have to do that anymore. So instead, the bit before the theme music was just a bit of a laugh. Well, the recording quality in this one is fine, but it's a little bit echoey because I was recording in a different room with a different setting on the microphone. The reasons why will become apparent very soon, but when you're listening, you might notice it's a little bit echoey, but after a minute or two, you'll get used to it. Don't let it bother you. Run the theme music.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you!
What's this? What's this?
Well, just me and my trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm your host, Jack, and we'll start off with the interactive bit. So, how have you been?
Well.
Very well, or just well?
Very well.
That's good to hear. And scene. A little bit different this episode, boys and girls. I've got a couple of special guests. Now, the one thing I always say about this podcast, apart from the fact that it's a load of trolley, is that the best part of it is getting to meet new people. And would you believe, nearly 6 years ago, I got an email from a lady that listened to the show saying that she made a Christmas village. She sent me some pictures. We arranged to have an interview on the show. And every year since then, we've had a chat through Zoom. She lives in Michigan with her reprobate husband. And we have a chat every year about the Christmas village, how it's been going, what's different this year, what's not. If you listen to the episodes, you'd know. I shouldn't even have to tell you this. You should know this anyway. Don't make me... Why are you making me repeat myself? Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah. So, would you believe that the wonderful Shelley Arnold, the lady with the Christmas village, is actually in my house as we speak? She's flown all the way from Michigan in the US to come and visit my two daughters because she's a huge fan of their podcast, I'm Not Complaining with Robin and Juno. So welcome to the show, Shelley and her husband, Frank.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us in your home.
Our lovely home or just our home?
Your lovely home.
Yeah, nice try. It's too late. Good. It's too late, Shelley. It's too late. You blew it. Right, so boys and girls, it's going to be a bit of a different show because Shelley and Frank are going to be here throughout the whole show. And we're going to start off with this. Do you know, I should have said a minute ago that I've actually got a spectator watching us record. It's my beautiful wife, Carla. Do you want to say hello, Carla? No, you don't speak. Right. Do you want to say hello?
Not now.
That didn't come up on the microphone. No. Say it louder. Say not now louder. There's no laughing on my show. Right. There's definitely no coughing. So, boys and girls, we're just going to have a bit of a chat about Christmas in the US. Now, I've had other guests on from the States and we've talked about Christmas, but we're going to hear about yours. And we have talked about it a little bit before when we've talked in the past, haven't we? Don't nod, Shelley. Make a sound. You can laugh. She's not allowed to laugh. Can laugh.
Okay.
Frank can laugh. So, Shelley.
Yes.
Christmas.
Yes.
So, in the US, if you're working, do you get Christmas Eve off? What do you get?
It depends on where you work. I worked for years in a hospital, so you don't get any days off unless you request them and they're approved.
In the past, you've worked Christmas, have you? Christmas Day?
I've never had to work Christmas Day.
Oh, that's good.
Thankfully, I've been blessed to not have to do that. Because I had a friend who didn't have any plans on Christmas Day and she took my shift.
That's happy and sad.
Yeah.
Oh no,
yeah.
What was up with her then?
But
no
then
one,
she,
did no one like her?
No.
You liked her because she gave you a Christmas
Yeah, gift. But then she joined us with our family and spent the rest of Christmas Day after she worked.
Oh nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Just for the record, my wife has left now in disgust. I don't know what Shelley said that upset her, but she's walked out. How about you, Frank? You never had to work Christmas Day.
I've worked Christmas Eve.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, I have choice or you've had to?
No, they just scheduled a day for Christmas Eve.
Okay, but now you're self-employed.
Correct.
What do you do? Do you never?
He has.
We have had to work Christmas Eve on emergency service calls.
Oh, okay.
Things like that, but I don't ever schedule work on Christmas Eve.
And how about Christmas Day? Have you ever worked Christmas
Day? I don't think I've ever worked Christmas Day in my life.
No, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I've said before, I've had to work Christmas Day, but it's not about me. So, what days do you actually get off in the state? Can you hear that in the background? Boys and girls, can you hear that? It's my wife coughing in the background. That's where she lives, so she can cough. And we can still bloom and hear her. Where was I? Oh, yes. So, what days do you actually get off for Christmas, then?
Now?
Well, just generally. In the UK, we call them a bank holiday. So, we get Christmas Day. Oh, she's back again, boys and girls. She's back again. If you hear coughing, that's my wife. We get Christmas Day, Boxing Day, the 26th. Or if it's on a weekend, they carry over to the following Monday or Tuesday, depending. And then we get New Year's Day off. What do they call it? State holidays? Or what they call it?
Yeah, I would say a lot of places. So if Christmas Eve fell on a Friday and Christmas fell on a Saturday, mm-hmm. you'd probably get Christmas Eve off.
Okay.
But if it fell midweek, as far as I know, it's pretty much Christmas Day. Boxing Day afterwards.
We don't get Boxing Day. That's not a regular holiday.
Hang on. So you might work Christmas Eve off Christmas Day, back on Boxing Day?
Yes.
I did that lots when I was younger.
But when are you nursing your hangover then? When do you get to nurse the hangover?
Well, it's bigger than you're just the big letdown, that post-Christmas hangover where it's over. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah.
I much better have the 26th off now, because that's the day I want to just sit down and relax and play with whatever gifts I got and watch the kids play with their stuff. And that's the day I really, really like more and more every year.
Your G.I. Joe. You want to play with your G.I. Joe?
Exactly.
I see. So a lot of people actually, they work the 26th. It's just a regular work day.
It's a regular work day for a lot of folks.
Yeah, it's not. Boxing Day is not a holiday in the States. It is in Canada.
Right. So one day off for Christmas. That's it.
That's the typical, every store or every business is different, but when I was a younger person and working a not-so-fabulous job, Christmas Day was the only day you really had guaranteed off.
Mm-hmm. And you'd work a full day Christmas Eve, so you wouldn't finish early.
Yeah, no, we were...
So in Europe, you probably know this either from listening to my podcast or others, but like in Europe, Christmas Eve is often their big day, and then Christmas Day is like the come down day, and so the big meal is Christmas. It's normally in the evening rather than the other. What's Christmas Eve like for you guys? What would you do?
Christmas Eve in our house is typically we have a nice breakfast with the family, and then we finish wrapping anything that we need to wrap. We might play some games. We'll typically have a fairly quick dinner, and then we'll go to church.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll come home and we'll watch one of the movies we haven't watched yet, and for the season,
Christmas movie.
Christmas
one of the
movie.
Christmas
movies,
one of the classics.
Yeah,
if we haven't watched
"It's a Wonderful Life," we'll watch "It's a Wonderful Life."
Yeah,
and then we go to bed, and Frank and I go outside in December our camper.
Yeah, so just for the records, tell boys and girls where you would spend Christmas Day then.
So Christmas Day, we wake up in our home. And our daughters are there, both of our daughters.
I thought you were in the... When you said the other day, you told me this before, I knew this, sorry. So you... Do you get this, boys and girls? Their children kick them out of their own house and have to sleep in a camper in the middle of winter. So I forgot that. When you mentioned it the other day, I thought it was like you'd gone to your daughter's house, but you haven't. They've
no,
come to you.
No.
And they turf you out of your own home.
They both publicly decreed that Christmas will always be at our house.
We'll always be in our home.
And you get the whole family. So just so you know, boys and girls, Shelley and Frank have got two daughters. The oldest one lives 9 hours away, nine-hour car drive away. In the UK, you can't really live a nine-hour car drive away. Well, you possibly could, but it'd be like the whole length of the country. So most people, to have the family together is only normally an hour or so drive.
Right. Yeah.
So she comes down. When would she come?
She usually comes, 4 or 5 days before Christmas. She'll come and she'll stay for a whole week.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So then back to Christmas Day. Christmas Eve night, you go and you're sleeping in the camper.
We go into the camper, and then around 5 a.m., our grandson is calling us on the phone saying, get up, get up. It's Christmas. Get in here. And then we have to get up, get our boots on, go into the house, and make coffee, and then we open presents.
Well, the least they could do is make the coffee.
Well, sometimes they do, but he typically
She put it to Frank then.
Frank. Frank typically does an AeroPress coffee where he just has one cup.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So do you have a special Christmas breakfast at all? Is it?
Yep.
Yes. So I make Christmas breakfast for my entire family. My sisters, my brother, my dad.
Well, they all come around as well.
Well, we go over there to my dad's house after we get done with our presents and we
So you open your presents the first thing in the morning?
Yes.
All the presents are open?
Yes.
Do you not save anything until after the Queen's speech?
No.
The King's speech. You wait until after the King's speech?
No.
Yeah, we always wait.
No, we don't. And then we go to my dad's house and we spend Christmas with him and my sisters and we have Christmas breakfast. We exchange gifts with them. And typically, I would usually make dinner there.
Oh, would you
this
as well?
But this year, we went home and we went back to our house and we made dinner at our house and they came to our house. So we had 16 people to our house for Christmas dinner.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing. I've spoken to other people in the US about what you have for Christmas dinner. So our Christmas dinner sounds more similar to your Thanksgiving. So what do you guys have
this year? We had a different Christmas dinner. We did 8 racks of barbecued ribs.
Okay.
And we had macaroni and cheese, and we had baked beans, and we had coleslaw, and we had cornbread.
Just a proper barbecue dinner.
Just a proper barbecue.
Barbecue.
Yeah, that's what we had for dinner.
What would you normally have then?
A prime rib. I would typically make a prime rib.
So still beef then? You have beef for Christmas? So I've asked other people this from the US, and I get different answers. So what do you think the most common meat would be in the US for people to have for Christmas dinner?
Probably turkey. Or ham.
Oh, it is.
Turkey
Christmas
or ham.
Yeah. Even though you've already had it for Thanksgiving, you'd have it again for...
Sure, a lot of people do. Or ham. Have a full ham dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of people do have a prime rib or a nice standing rib roast.
Beef is reasonably popular in the UK, but I think, without a doubt, turkey is far head and shoulders above anything else.
Yeah.
So, I think the turkey is tradition. That's the thing. And the Brussels sprouts you have with the pigs in blankets, our pigs in blankets are little sausages wrapped in bacon. All of that in the UK, that's a tradition. You go to most people's houses, I think you'd find the same thing. Mm-hmm. You had a barbecue this year. Do you not have a tradition that you stick to every year?
No.
Last year, I think
I was getting bored because I'm the only one that's making the dinner. Okay. And I was like, I don't want to fuss over a prime rib again this year. So last year I made Swedish meatballs and noodles and salad and rolls. And so we had like a big, big pot of Swedish meatballs.
Okay.
Yeah. So sometimes I'll do lasagna.
That surprises me, to be honest. I would have thought being a big Christmas fan like you are, you'd have like a proper traditional meal.
I don't think what the menu is as important as everybody getting together and everybody just
having
Christmas.
A meal.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No?
I think it's got... How dare you? Right, just so you know, boys and girls, my wife, who's not meant to be part of this, she was just... I said she could sit in... Now she's coughing. I said she could sit in, all right? I shouldn't have said it. I should have said, get out of the room. I should have. I didn't. She's just put... Now she's talking. She's put her hand up, okay, because she's got a question. If this question is rubbish, you owe me 2p. No, 8p.
Do you not think that the... Less
no, I don't think. You're out of it. Oh. Right, where was I?
A traditional meal, because they already had Thanksgiving, which is like the traditional...
Yeah, a month. It's only a month before Christmas.
So it's a whole month. That's nearly 10% of the year ago.
We all eat turkey once a year.
But a lot of people eat it twice a year. What I found was funny was when you watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation and they're having turkey on Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that a thing? Do you think that's just a film thing?
No, I do believe that a lot of families do have turkey again on Christmas. Otherwise,
what about Christmas Eve? Because that's on National Lampoon. It's Christmas Eve they're eating the turkey.
Yeah,
do you remember
when
they cut it?
Yeah.
I don't remember in my house growing up, Christmas Eve was a very large, fancy dinner.
No,
it was just...
So what did you have when you were growing up?
My families go to church.
I think we just had
on Christmas
regular...
On Christmas Eve.
Oh, okay.
And church service on Christmas Eve is typically, 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night. So fitting in... a large dinner like that.
The reason I said that is because it was on National Lampoon.
Yeah.
So what did you have when you were a kid then? Did you have a traditional every year the same?
No? Ham.
Oh, ham. Okay. And how about you then, Frank?
Well, I think ours was just a standard, whatever dinner was dinner. It wasn't a big deal.
It's Christmas Day.
Not Christmas Eve.
I'm not talking about Christmas Eve anymore.
You were.
I've moved on from that. I've just moved.
No,
well, we didn't know that.
I thought you moved on.
You still asked about Christmas Eve.
Did I say the word Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to rewind this and listen to it. No, I did say Christmas Day. Can we get back to Christmas Day? What did you have for Christmas Day? When you were a kid. When you were a kid, for God's sake, pay attention.
On Christmas Day, probably turkey.
When you were a kid?
Yeah.
Growing up?
Turkey.
Right, there
as
you
well.
Go. Right. Have you finished, Carla? Any more questions? No. No questions for you. Right. What's your best toy you ever got when you were a kid?
Oh my goodness.
Now, she said, oh my goodness, and she's pausing, but I asked her this question. I said, I'm going to ask a few questions, and I gave them a list of questions I was going to ask them.
You did?
Yes, sir, don't you lie to me, Shelley Arnold. You come on my show, and you lie to me. I gave them a list, I printed it out, I laminated it, I said, I want these answered, these will be the questions I ask you on the show.
In the words of your Aunt Angela, it's possibly
they don't know who my Aunt Angela is. This is madness now.
It's possibly.
Who invited you on this podcast?
Everybody knows you're on Ashley. She's a celebrity here.
She is a celebrity.
I'm going to have to say that a Chrissy doll.
That's the one you wrote down earlier when I gave you the list.
I didn't see a list.
You saw them. Maybe I didn't give them a list of questions, boys and girls. That's not important right now. Can you tell us what a Chrissy doll is, Shelley?
A Chrissy doll was, she was about, I'm going to say 2 feet tall.
Okay.
And she had red hair. And it was kind of a short little bob,
mm-hmm.
but then she had a hole in the top of her head where her ponytail came out, and
you could pull it out
and then she would have long red hair.
Oh, glowing.
And then you would push her back, a button in her back, and it would suck it back in.
Yeah.
Yeah. She had one of those called Girls World, but it was just a head.
Just a head.
Yeah.
Just the
and then she had, I don't know if they were sisters or not, or just cousins, but there was also a Velvet doll, and she had blonde hair, and then there was Mia, and she had dark brown hair.
Did you have all three, or you just have Christy?
Between my sisters and I, we had all three.
Shelley's got 2 sisters, boys and girls, so there's three girls, 3 dolls. Go on then, Frank, what was yours? Was it the Evil Knievel?
No, there was a...
Did you ever have the Evil Knievel?
Yeah, of course.
Good man.
But there was it came from Radio Shack, and it had 150 experiments you could build. There was like a spring that you could stick a wire in and you could connect light bulbs to batteries. And
yeah, I've seen these.
And then
yeah.
I made AM radios. I made all kinds of stuff. And I played with that for years.
Ah, did it have a lie detector on it?
Yes, it did.
Yes. Did it work?
I don't remember it working, no.
Yeah, see, my friend had the same thing. I don't know if it's exactly the same. It was my brother's friend. And he brought it around one time. We're playing, and all I wanted to do was the lie detector. But he was like, don't bother, it don't work. So that was it.
It was quite a lengthy build. So you had it had that for years and years.
Oh, there we go. Carla, what was your favourite toy? No one cares. No one cares. Right.
Oh, it's the
look.
Look really bad.
What?
It's not going to look bad.
No, I look great.
What, hating your wife?
I don't hate my wife. I love my wife. How dare you? Coming on here, telling me who I hate and who I don't hate. Right. So we've talked loads and loads about the Christmas Village, okay? Boys and girls, if you aren't familiar with the Christmas Village, we've had 6 episodes where Shelley has come on and Frank has come on and they've talked about their Christmas Village. It's massive, takes months to create. You have an open house where people can come and visit. This is my question, and I thought about this the other day. After you've made it, it's wonderful. So there's loads of moving parts and everything. It's loads of lights and stuff. Do you just ever sit there on your own and just in the peace, just enjoy it? Or is it there and do you actually spend your time with it?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Yeah, I definitely do. I will sit on the step from the kitchen down to the village room and just sit there and look at it almost at like eye level.
Ah.
You know? And our friend Amy, who comes to help with us at
our
house.
She just pointed at Carla when she said her friend Amy.
That makes she knows
absolutely
what I'm talking about.
No sense.
My housekeeper.
Are you familiar? No, my wife's coughing. She's not supposed to do that. We discussed this.
She's familiar with my housekeeper, Amy. And...
Have you met her, Carla?
No.
You don't speak.
But my housekeeper, Amy, will actually sit on the step, and she's told me that she will sit on the step and just stare at it.
Oh, she
and...
did. What, when she's supposed to be working?
Yes.
You're paying her for this?
Yes.
She should be telling you that.
She does.
Goodness me.
And she says she often will sit there and wonder what it's like to live in there.
In the village?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
How about you, Frank? Do you ever go in there and just...
Yeah, I'll have coffee and sit out there.
Yeah. Just, of an evening? Morning. When you wake up?
Before the house is awake.
I would have thought it was more of an evening thing. I sort of feel like I'd like want to just relax after work and just enjoy the moment.
At our house, in the morning, it's still dark.
Oh, okay. That's
right?
True, yeah.
At that time of the year. So yeah. It's still like night.
Oh,
yeah. This year is going to be extra, extra special once I get it set up, because we have a new little one, and
yes.
I'm going to put her in her high chair, just like I did with Luciano, and give her the remote, let her push the buttons and turn the lights on and off and the train on and off. I might have to help her because she's only going to be 8 months old. But
oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Boys and girls, Shelley's just welcomed a brand new granddaughter, haven't you?
Yes.
How old is she now?
She's going to be 2 months old on the 14th of June. She's going to be 8 weeks tomorrow.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So, back to Christmas. We talked about this before. We were just chatting about this in the car earlier. My presents when I was a kid, and I'm pretty sure most people in the UK, stocking at the end of the bed. When I say stocking, it's not like a big sock. It's normally it'd be like a quarter of a plastic stocking, a big thing. Or some people would put a pillowcase, and that's where the presents go from Father Christmas. But you were telling me that your presents are underneath the tree.
Yes.
Yeah, and as a kid, that was the case as well.
Yes.
And both of you.
Yeah.
And so do you think that's a global thing for the US?
No, I know it's not.
Oh, go on.
I know it's not, because I have friends who have... Father Christmas will wrap their gifts and put them under the tree.
But they still go under the tree?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, we should have said this. So Shelley was saying that her presents from Santa, they don't get wrapped. He doesn't wrap them. But they go under the tree. Your friends' ones, they're still under the tree, though. Is everyone's under the tree?
Yes.
That's the place. There's no. So you might have, if you had a stocking, would that be hung on the fireplace with care?
Yes.
In hope that St. Nicholas soon would be there.
Yes.
I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. So never at the end of the bed, never at the foot of the bed.
I've never heard of that.
Not at all?
Never.
Have you not even heard of it, like, nothing like I've mentioned? Well, I would have mentioned it, you just weren't listening. You've never heard it, that at the
first time I ever heard of anyone having a stocking at the end of their bed was today.
Really?
Yeah, me too.
So like I said, so that would be a global thing.
In your house.
No, Carla, you're not allowed to speak. If my wife was allowed to speak, she would nod her head and say, well, she can nod your head. She's not even, the look she's giving me. Who does she think she is? Don't laugh. You'll only catch, she's coughing now. She's trying to stifle a cough, boys and girls. We discussed this. Now I've forgotten what I was saying.
Stockings in the bed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's in the UK, it's always at the end of the bed. A Visit from St. Nicholas, the famous poem. That's an American poem, isn't it? So that's why the stockings by the mantelpiece. Do some people, do you think it's still on the mantelpiece, or do you think it is still under the tree for nearly
fireplaces aren't wildly popular in the States anymore.
Oh, they're not anyway?
No. So there's not a lot of stockings hung on mantles because there's no mantles.
Oh, there you go. So now we know. There you go. In the UK, it's no. I'm sure, I don't know of anyone, none of my mates have ever said about it, but that the presents are underneath the tree. It's always at the foot of your bed. You wake up to them and there they are. Yeah. So, like I was saying, we have Boxing Day to recover if we've gone to enjoy ourselves on Christmas Day. What's Christmas Day night like then? What would you do then? Because I know that the cinema is quite popular in the US.
That did surprise me. We never did that, but I was surprised to hear that a lot of families went to a movie on the evening of Christmas Day. And that seems unusual to me.
Well, quite often a big film will open on Christmas Day.
Yeah, they
it?
Do. Hollywood knows about it. They release big movies on Christmas Day.
On Christmas Day, yeah. No, I don't think the cinemas are even open on the... I'm sure the cinemas aren't even open in the UK on Christmas Day.
So you had said that, you know, Boxing Day was your... We don't... That's really not a thing for us. So pretty much Christmas Day is the evening you kind of have to wind down and get ready to...
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah, to be honest though, Christmas Day... I'm looking at my wife like I'm going to let her speak, but I'm not going to let her speak. Christmas Day, God, the looks I'm getting across this table from these people that I've invited to be on my podcast and should be showing me more respect, boys and girls. Christmas Day does seem to be even, because you've eaten so much at lunchtime, you sort of wind down anyway, but you carry on drinking because you know you've got the day off the next day. But I don't think it's often a late night.
So what time does the King's Speech come on?
3:10. No, 3 o'clock till 3:10.
So you said you save presents for after the King's Speech, or do you just...
We do, but most people, I don't think, do. A lot of people, my wife is shaking her head looking at me. Actually, no, she's shaking her because we don't, actually. We used to. When I was a kid, we did. We'd open our presents after the King's Speech, Queen's Speech when I was a kid. So we'd get up in the morning, open up our presents from Santa Claus. then we'd have to wait till after lunch or after the Queen's speech. So sometimes we wouldn't have to wait till the Queen's speech. Lunch would be about 1 till 2. Christmas dinner, sorry. But then, since we've had the girls, we do open our presents on Christmas Day, and Carla, my wife, lets them open them in the morning, which I'm not happy about. But we will sometimes take presents, or no, the presents we get from my parents when we go around their house, we do open those ones after the King's speech, yeah. Yeah, yes. I don't think as many people watch the King's speech as they used to, but it's still a tradition. It's on the both major terrestrial channels. Mm-hmm. So there's other stuff you could watch, but well, a lot of people are streaming now anyway. But I think it's just one of those traditions that people have kept to, and it's a nice tradition. I think I do like it. Yeah, I'm not a big royalist, but I do like the King's speech. Mm-hmm. He never says anything controversial.
No, it should be just a Christmas message of, I assume, unity and...
Yeah, that's it. Pretty much exactly it. Yeah. Unity and cheer, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So is there anything else about Christmas you want to share that's special to you guys? Do you have any traditions that we've not spoken about?
I think we've shared most of them.
Yeah.
Just a little one. Do you want to say about when you go on holiday?
All the ornaments.
Oh, yes. Every time we go on holiday, we will get a Christmas ornament from that place to put on our tree. So then every year when we put up our tree, we're like, oh, here's our Salisbury Cathedral.
They've just been to Salisbury Cathedral today, boys and girls.
Yeah.
They got a free tour from my Auntie Angela. She won't be listening to this, but I can say she's a delightful lady and gave them a free tour around Salisbury Cathedral, yeah, which has the tallest spire in the UK, which Frank and Shelley now know because they've been around it.
Yes, it was incredible. So we have a... We have a bauble or an ornament from every place that we visit on holiday to put on the tree. So it brings back nice reminders of those.
You've got a couple of trees, though. Do you have?
We have three trees.
Three trees. Mm-hmm. Is it one that's specifically for those special baubles?
No, it depends on the color, on the color of the ornament.
Well, would you spread those baubles out among the different trees?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's funny, because we've got two separate trees. The girls have got theirs, which goes mm-hmm. literally there. I'm pointing to the corner of the room, boys and girls.
Or he's making his wife face the wrong direction.
Did she? She looks a different way. Did she?
No, you put her in the corner.
I did not put my wife in the corner. I said I was keen to get her out of the room. She wanted to stay. Now I've forgotten what I was saying.
Girl's tree in the corner.
Girl's tree in the corner with all the crappy decorations. Our good tree in the living room with all the nice posh decorations. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much for sharing your Christmases. I know it's not going to be the same for everyone in the US, but I guess it's your Christmas, and that's important. I appreciate that. Anything you want to say? Anything else? Anything you've missed out you might want to let the viewers at home, listeners at home know? Viewers, oh, I've ruined it.
No, I don't think so.
No?
No.
Okay, right. Well, now, boys and girls, we're going to do this.
Where are you, Christmas?
Where are you, Christmas? How about Akureyri, Iceland? Now, we get so excited when we hear from a listener who has a suggestion for a year-round Christmas location. This episode, major kudos go to Dave McRae, who has suggested the Christmas House and Garden in Iceland. Now, you can imagine that I have done quite a bit of research on the various holiday places throughout the world. I have seen many of the same places make the list, but this one has never been on my radar, so it was so fun to learn about. The Christmas House, or Jólahúsið, and Garden, or Jólagarðurinn, are magical places to visit. They are located only a 10-minute drive from Akureyri, the capital of Northern Iceland. This quirky gingerbread-like house looks like something out of a fairy tale, with gigantic candy decorating its roof and icicles hanging from the eaves. Inside, the Christmas spirit rules there every day. Spread across two floors, this specialty gift shop is full of locally made crafts and all sorts of Christmas decorations, trinkets, housewares, ornaments, music, books, artwork, and traditional foods. Icelandic Christmas-themed food items are given top billing, with legs of smoked lamb and decorative leaf bread available for purchase. You'll also find souvenirs of the 13 Yule Lads and a statue of their mother, Grilla, the child-eating giantess. The owner often dresses up like Santa Claus, and the staff are experts in Icelandic Christmas folklore, and they are eager to share stories and to answer questions. There is always a log burning fire and Christmas tunes playing, even in the middle of June. The grounds also include several buildings serving sweets and selling other Nordic products. There is a tower that serves as the world's largest advent calendar. Its windows are numbered from 1 to 25, and imagery by Icelandic artist Sunna Björk Hreiðbjörnsdóttir. And imagery by Icelandic artist Sunna Björk Hreiðbjörnsdóttir. An imagery by an Icelandic artist whose name I can't pronounce adorns its tower walls. Now, if you have time, the surrounding region has numerous natural attractions and landmarks, including Mývatn, a beautiful region of lakes, geological marvels, and volcanic activity. The area is also renowned for its waterfalls, such as the historic Godafoss waterfall and the Dettifoss, the most powerful waterfall in Europe. Now, if you know of another hidden holiday location with troublesome trolls and a goblin giantess, you spew it out to Jack, he'll hurl it at me, and together we'll tell you where to find Christmas around the world.
Excellent work, Bob. Excellent work. And thank you so much to Dave McRae for sending that one through. Really appreciate it. Boys and girls, it's not difficult. You don't even have to do the research. Bob did all that. All you've got to do is give us a suggestion of the place. So do it. Be like Dave McRae. Now we're doing this. So now, boys and girls, Shelley and Frank are going to share with us their stories of how they found out the truth about Santa Claus, or Father Christmas, as the cool kids call him. So, who's going to go first? Shelley. Shelley?
I'm going first.
Yeah, tell us what happened. What happened, Shelley?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think that I really remember a specific time that I went, what? There's no Santa? But I do remember when my little sister found out there was no Santa.
But hold on then. So what age do you think you were when you actually did realize that it's not happening? You know, that it was your mum and dad.
I think probably 11.
Okay, that's a good age then. You did well.
Yeah.
So what, do you think it was just a gradual thing? You don't remember the penny dropping?
Yeah, I think it was just a gradual thing. And then when my little sister found out, then it was kind of like reinforced.
Right. Tell us then. So what happened then?
My little sister got up in the middle of the night.
How old is she?
She is 2 years younger than I am.
Okay.
And she got up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom.
This is on Christmas Eve?
Uh-huh. And when she came out of the bathroom, she saw my dad coming down the stairs with a doll that she had asked for. And she just kind of skirted off to bed. And the next morning when it was under the tree from Santa, then
that was it.
She knew.
Was it wrapped?
No, my parents did not wrap Santa gifts. Like, all of the gifts from them or family members were all wrapped, but all of the Santa gifts were unwrapped. Frank and I still... We did that with our girls, and our girls have done that with their children.
My
as
parents
well.
Were the same way. Everything that was Santa was unwrapped.
Oh, that's interesting. See, my wife Carla, she gets different wrapping paper from Santa. So that's the Santa paper, and all the Santa toys and gifts that are wrapped in that one wrapping paper. We can't afford wrapping paper, kids at home.
Well, Shelley's uncle used to wrap.
In newspaper.
In comics.
Yeah. Oh, that's
like
cool.
Comic paper,
the funny pages.
Funny pages.
Oh. Yeah. I used to do that for my family and but not for the kids. They want proper wrapping paper. It saves money,
It did.
Better for the environment. So she's about 9, you're about 11, and she came, did she say? Did she make a big thing about
it? Oh, she told us. Like, there was three of us, three girls.
Yeah. Oh, she told, when did she say? In the morning?
She's like, when we were laying in bed, waiting for our dad to come and get us to tell us that Santa had been there. She was telling us, we're all, you know, in the same bed, you know, and our grandma's in the other room like, be quiet, be quiet. And she was like, I think I'm getting the Tiffany doll. I think I'm getting the Tiffany doll. And then when she saw it was from Santa,
she knew.
We all knew.
Oh, we all see, of course, yes. Yeah. So, right. So this was your youngest sister?
Are you... my middle sister.
Oh, so the youngest one found out as well then?
Yeah.
How old would she have been?
She's a year younger than Sherry.
So 7 or 8 then?
Yeah. I mean, it could have been like, you know, 10.
Oh, okay.
I could have been 10. I truly can't remember. I probably could find out looking at photos, though.
Oh, yeah. You and your sister and the Tiffany, though.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
It's a schoolboy error.
Yeah.
What was he thinking?
Yeah.
So still, that's not bad. That's not bad, isn't it? If the youngest one's 7 or 8, that's not too bad, is it? I think if you can, yeah. I think anything after 8 years old is a bonus, really.
But we in our house, like, it kept going, even when our children and our grandchildren were there with my dad. You know what I mean?
Really?
He would always say, you know, you better be good, or, you know, Santa. And,
is he saying that to you?
Or
is he saying that to
like, he still says it to me when I'm, you know, 63 years old. And, you know, and he'll say, you better be good, you know, or Santa won't bring you what you want and everything. And if you don't believe, you know, and he just tries to, you know, make it fun. And
keep it going. Go keep the magic alive.
Yeah, exactly.
We always tell our grandson, when you stop believing, you start getting socks and underpants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when that started to happen. I remember one year my brother got deodorant. It wasn't like Santa Claus was giving him a suggestion, but I remember thinking, that's not what Santa gives people, is it? Is that what happens when you get older? Mike, go on then, Frank. So what happened to you then?
So one of my best friends growing up had an older brother. So,
yeah,
of course, he learned
first. Yeah, siblings.
And then he told us right away. And so,
but right away?
As soon as he figured it out.
Where were you? What happened?
We were sledding, actually.
Really?
Yeah, and the sled that my best friend had came from Santa last year.
The previous year. So, yeah. Was it before Christmas you found out?
Yeah.
Before?
Yep, yeah, I think we just started Christmas vacation.
Okay.
And they had a hill in their backyard that we could sled down.
Uh-huh.
So, we'd always go there and sled. And then the oldest brother told Matt there was no, so then of course Matt told me, so it was, well, it was right before Christmas no less. But
were you upset? How did you feel?
No
really. Did you have an inkling, do you think?
I think so.
Do you remember how old you were?
I was like 5th grade, so
what's that?
Well, I don't know, like,
it's Robin's age.
Channel, yeah.
Oh, it's 10 or 11.
Yeah, 10 or 11.
Oh, that's good then. If you lasted that long.
Yeah, we had a good run.
I've said this on the show before, Robin is still, she's a true believer, bearing in mind that she doesn't believe anymore. I'm sure she doesn't believe, but she really wants to believe.
Yeah,
whereas Juno's always questioning it. She's been questioning it for a couple of years. But I think Robin's smart enough to know that it's not, but she won't hear a word against it.
Right.
That's how it is.
Hang on to it. You just gotta hang on to it.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know.
What harm does it do?
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And the thing is, I was always thinking, oh, I'm gonna hate it when they don't believe in Santa anymore. But I feel like I've had so many good years. I think, you know, it's not like, it's more like I'm ready for them to, for them to believe.
It is tough for the parents too.
Yeah
when the magic goes. Yeah
it is,
because then they start.
Couldn't they have waited till after Christmas though, the big brother? Give it a few more days.
Just wait till after Christmas. He was like, what are you talking about, you guys are nuts, there's no Santa Claus. And we're like, we do that.
Yeah, when there's big kids, you gotta act like you're
for
what
our
you're
grandson
talking about.
Probably a couple of years before he was like, no, there's no Santa. I was like, I need to like reinforce this with him. So I used like whatever to like import a photo of Santa in front of our tree, and it looked real, like he was putting things down under the
tree. Yeah.
It was kind of a weird Photoshop.
It was a Photoshop.
It was a website,
type of thing.
Basically.
Yeah.
You just uploaded a photo of your living room and your tree.
Yeah. I'll show you the photos after.
Yeah.
It's quite remarkable. There was one in front of him, in front of the village, pointing at something in front of the village, you know.
It had to be real, because who else has a village?
Yeah,
yeah, and I didn't show him right away in the morning. I waited until after we had done everything for Christmas and had breakfast and everything, and I was like, oh, Luciano, I forgot to tell you. I
got caught these pictures Santa last night.
Yeah, I got up to go to the bathroom and I caught Santa and I showed him the pictures and it kind of reinforced, I think, with him, like maybe another year.
Yeah, that yeah.
There was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was fun.
That's clever as well. Yeah. Yeah, we should look into that.
But we always worked at, like, 1 year, our youngest daughter and her husband, we got sleigh bells from somebody, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So Lou went to bed finally. So then Josh, our son-in-law, went outside after like 25, 30 minutes and he was shaking the sleigh bells. And he was like rubbing the wall of the house so it sounded like he was on the roof.
Right, yeah.
He was out there being Santa for Luciano. So we worked pretty hard to keep it alive as long as we could.
Yeah. And that was the first thing that Jenna said to me when she found out after she told us that she was going to have a baby. She was like, just think we get to do Santa again. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, there you go. That's great work, guys.
Well, thank you.
It's funny, but I think you're the first person who's just said, I don't know when I became aware.
I don't think I know, like, specific.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like a lightning bolt moment.
No lightning bolt moment.
Yeah. But for you, the older siblings are, yeah. They're a problem. They're always a problem.
I don't remember being like, I wasn't gutted, but I do remember we were sledding down the hill,
yeah.
And we were commented on the sled because it was the old school, like the runner sled, you know?
Yeah, I've seen.
And those rarely ever worked unless the snow was super packed.
Okay.
But then when it did work, he could go the farthest.
Yeah.
And we all had plastic sleds and saucers. And yeah. So whenever he would always brag about his sled from Santa. And the big brother squashed it.
I think it starts at a certain age where you start to wonder, yeah, is this really, you know what I mean? And if it takes a long time before you actually find out, that's kind of a long period. So it's maybe not as much of a shock
as
if you never had any idea and then all of a sudden someone tells you that you trust and then you find out.
I've got a big brother who's, what's 20, 13 years older than I?
Yeah, I think so.
So we went to a function. And there was a Santa Claus there, and I knew immediately it was my big brother.
What? So, your big brother was the Santa?
Yeah, at the
oh, really?
Yeah, at a party. And so I knew immediately that was my big brother. So I remember thinking, I was little, like maybe 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, I know he's not Santa, but he must work for Santa.
This
is Christmas Joe. Working for Santa.
So I thought I was the coolest kid on the block. My brother worked for Santa Claus.
Yeah, it's a good boss to have. So when you found out, did you say anything to your folks?
I think I maybe asked my mother.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and she was like, yeah, no. Don't tell your sister, because I have a sister who's 3 years younger than I.
Right.
So I was like, well, of course I won't tell my sister. Yeah, I think, like I said, I don't remember it being a big, oh no, kind of a thing, but I remember the day it happened.
Yeah. Great work, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cool.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
You know what we like to say at the Tiki Bar? I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy. So I guess I never thought about it until recently, but Jim Carrey has famously played both of Christmas's most notorious villains. He starred as the live-action Grinch in 2000, and then as Ebenezer Scrooge in 2009's motion capture version of A Christmas Carol. In this Disney version, he voices Ebenezer Scrooge, as well as all three ghosts of Christmas. The concept is that each ghost represents various parts of Scrooge's personality. Now, while both characters have much in common, it is hard to decide which is better. Harry brought unique energy to the two roles. Whereas the Grinch may be cartoonish, he is more sarcastic than mean, with his slapstick humor and wicked grins, Scrooge is dark, moody, and intense. So while the tone may be distinct, the performances share a lot in common. The Grinch is a wounded outcast from childhood, while Scrooge buries his grief under anger and greed after losing his great love. And Jim Carrey makes sure the audience feels their pain, but in strikingly different ways. The Grinch is essentially a comic performance with a heart underneath, while Scrooge is a dramatic ghost story told with feeling. Now, if you're trying to decide which of these holiday classics to watch, both are a showcase of the actor's range. So what brings about this thesis on the acting talents of Jim Carrey? Well, these thoughts all came to me while I was watching the Disney adaptation, and just as Scrooge is starting to change, he says, "Get a hold of yourself, Ebenezer. You're having a wobbly." Now, every line of dialogue in this film almost came directly from Dickens, but this line did not, which set off my "Do you hear what I hear?" distress signal. How is Scrooge having a wobbly? Is he unsteady? Is he uneven? For this is what wobble would mean in the States. The American definition is used in the literal sense of wavering back and forth. However, this popular phrase in the UK isn't about unsteady furniture or bicycles. It's a British way to describe a moment of doubt, nerves, or anger. It is often used with a touch of humor. So if the problem is serious, wobble isn't the right word. It sounds so ridiculous that it's impossible not to laugh when someone accuses you of throwing a wobbly. What I have learned from Scrooge is that when someone is experiencing a wobbly in the UK, they are having a fit of temper, frustration, panic, or in this instance, behaving in an uncontrolled manner. It's not a full crisis, just an emotional blip. The odd thing, whereas this word wobble is Germanic in origin and is from the 1650s, its widespread use for expressing feelings in an exaggerated or uncontrolled way, that can only be traced back to the mid-20th century, which is not exactly a Dickensian time frame. Some linguists trace the definition to how the English will often use understatement to talk about emotions. So when they say, "I had a wobble," it means a vulnerable moment that is made to sound lighter and more relatable. Even if the feeling is intense, the word wobble softens it, making it easier to share. All I know is this talk makes my head wobble, so I may just have to throw a wobbly. Here's Anne. Happy Christmas.
You know, I've seen that version of A Christmas Carol a good number of times, and it never stood out to me, the word wobbly. So well spotted there, Bob. It's not a term I use myself, but you do hear it regularly, and more often it's usually regarding kids, like a kid might throw a wobbly or have a wobble. Yeah, or if someone's behaving like a kid, you might say they're having a wobbly. Anyway, great work, Bob. Boys and girls, check out Bob's podcast. It's called Festive Foreign Film Fans, where he talks about festive foreign films. It's easy to find. Just go and Google it. But now, boys and girls, we're doing this. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. Boys and girls, you will remember in the last episode we did Santa Banter. Now, the episode before, I received over 20 people's scores. From the last episode, Santa Banter, I received 10. 10 scores. But this is what I don't understand. Everyone's scores were very good. I would have understood it if it was a difficult quiz and you were getting like 1 or 2 out of 10. I'll get to it in a minute, the scores people got. I'm recording a little bit earlier than normal, but only a couple of days earlier. I don't know what's going on.
Wildly unpopular.
Did I say you could speak now? I know I'm wildly unpopular, but I still... normally I get 20. There's no interruptions on this bit.
Take the whiskey away.
Yeah, take the whiskey away. Well said, Shelley. Yes, he's had far too many. That was his second, and they're very small ones, boys and girls. Tiny. Right, where was I? Last episode scores. John Gomez scored 5. That was the lowest score that anyone sent in. 5. That's a good score. Well, it's not a good score, but that's a good lowest score. With 6 points with Frank Talley and Benji Pearson. Now, I've got Frank and Shelley here. They're going to be the judges on this. One of the questions was, I'm not going to go into how Santa Banter works, okay? If you listened last episode, you know. If you didn't listen last episode, what's wrong with you? It was a great episode. The clue was, the small green vegetable you'd eat at Christmas is in the gym exercising. What's the answer?
A Brussels sprout.
Is it sprouts?
The Brussels sprout is working out.
Yeah.
Well done. That's it, yeah. Benji Pearson said, the Brussels is building muscle.
Oh, that's good too.
Oh, that's good too.
That's a good one too.
You got the point, Benji. You got the point. You got 7. You didn't get 6. You beat Frank Talley by 1. Well done. With 7 points, that's Benji Pearson, the only one. With 8 points, we've got Pamela Wootton, who loves Santa banter. She just can't stop going on about how much she adored every minute of it. And Stephen Beach. Stephen Beach said this. Hi, Jack. 8.5 out of 10 for me. I actually got the first 8, but then realised that Santa banter is basically Rockbusters, and I was daydreaming for the last 2 questions about Carl Pilkington, so gave myself 0.5 point, which I'm sure you agree is absolutely fair. Stephen Beach, I do not agree. I do not agree at all. It is similar to Rockbusters. For those of you that don't know Rockbusters Boys and Girls, it was Carl Pilkington, who was on the Ricky Gervais show on XFM, it's a radio show, about 20 years ago. He had a quiz called Rockbusters. It was similar, where he described something and you had to work out what it was. It didn't rhyme, Stephen Beach. Santa banter rhymes, you see? Rockbusters didn't rhyme. You think you're giving yourself 0.5 point for not getting involved? No, Stephen Beach, you know I love you. We've met, you're a fine, upstanding citizen, but not when you're trying to steal 0.5 point. You scored 8, deal with it. Now, boys and girls, I was supposed to record this with Frank and Shelley. I completely forgot, but we did discuss it while they were here. There was a little bit of controversy about Santa banter, because one of the questions was something like, I read fruit-based dressing you'd put on turkey makes my throat sore and I find it hard to speak. The answer, of course, was cranberry sauce makes me hoarse. Here's the thing. Apparently, sauce and horse don't rhyme. Well, if that's the case, how come a bunch of people got it right? And some of them are in the US. In fact, one person even said, I forget who it was. It might have been, I think it was Mike Westphal. I could be wrong. He even said, I even got the cranberry sauce and horse one right, even though they don't rhyme. The other person who drew attention to it apparently not rhyming was Pamela Wootton. And I'm surprised by that, because we all know how much Pamela Wootton loves Santa banter. Now, I put this to Frank and Shelley, and I'm going to try and do my best to describe the different pronunciations of sauce and horse. Now, in the UK, we say sauce and horse. And I'm not sure if this is all parts of the US, because, you know, the accent does vary. But apparently, you don't say sauce, you say sauce. So, sauce and horse don't rhyme. Of course, sauce and horse do. So, if you got it wrong, well, tough. Really. Tough. But at least we've clarified that. Now let's get back to the show. No one scored 9 points, but are you ready for this, boys and girls? 5 people scored 10 points, boys and girls, and that is Nicola McLean, Mike Westphal, Nick Cole, Caroline Cole, and Martin Goodman. That was 0.5 the people that sent me their scores, scored 10 out of 10. So there you go, Pamela Wootton. No whinging about Santa banter. Don't worry though, this episode is not Santa banter, it's the quiz. And the regular quiz, I'm going back to the old book. I'm opening it now. Now, I don't want to scare anyone, but the first 2 questions I didn't have a clue about. So the first 2 are really bad. The ones after that, I think, are a bit easier. This episode, Frank and Shelley are both going to have a go. They're doing it separately. You're doing it, so happy to do it separately? Okay. I'm not optimistic, boys and girls. I'm not optimistic, but it's good to be part of something.
Okay. It is.
It is.
Not optimistic.
You're not optimistic either.
No.
Okay, right, question number 1. You don't have to give your answers now, you're just going to be thinking, okay? You're welcome to say, oh, that's a hard one, but only that, okay? Right, here we go. Or, oh, I know that. You may say those 2 things, okay? Or, I think I know that. Yeah, you're not allowed to say got it, though. Okay, right, question number 1. In New Zealand, what sort of tree is popular at Christmas? In New Zealand, okay? Question number 2. According to Danish tradition, who decorates your house for Christmas? Thinking? Okay, those were the 2 most difficult ones, I think. Right, now we're going to... I've skipped the rest of the ones in that section because they were upsetting. They were so hard. Right, next one. Easy one. In the Nativity story, which angel visited Mary? Yeah, they're both nodding. They're both nodding, which works great on a podcast. Thank God they're here. Question number 4... From which language is the word Noel taken? Noel. Shelley's nodding again, refusing to speak. refusing to make this podcast anything of merit. Okay. Oh, she's laughing. That's good. It's always nice to have a bit of laughter. Question number 5. What is Christmas called in Italian? Any ideas on that one? You know, Frank's nodded.
I know that
one. Oh, you do know it, do you? Do you know it, Shelley? I think I know it, but when I hear it, if it's not the one I thought it was, it'll probably be the one.
There's a song.
Don't say Feliz Navidad.
No.
Okay. Next one. What is the season leading up to Christmas called? The weeks leading up to Christmas. I think it's the 4 weeks before Christmas. Okay. Now, this is a multiple choice one, and it's tricky. In 2015, a school in London set the Guinness World Record for the longest Christmas cracker pulling chain. Now, I know you've had Christmas crackers. I sent them to you.
Thanks to you, yeah.
That's right, thanks to me, yeah. How long was your Christmas? Did you have a chain?
Yeah,
we had
seven people. You all pulled at the same time. What, with six crackers?
No,
what's going on here?
Well, because...
We may have had one from last year.
No, we had two from last year.
What's wrong with those ones?
No, but we didn't need that many.
I sent you more. And I think last year I sent you less than the year before.
Okay.
I think you got a cool dozen two years ago.
Yeah, we had some at the water park too, remember?
Yeah, so this year we had 9 people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she still had enough crackers? Oh, you only had 7 crackers though?
Yeah.
What? That doesn't make sense.
You had but 2 left over. I saved them from last year.
Yeah, 2 from last year or 3 from last year.
Or we might have had 2 from the year before.
It's only twice as it is.
Well, you said a dozen.
Who cares? Right. Was it A, 987, B, 1,000 exactly, C, 1,077, or D, 1,093? Okay, next one. What are the 2 main components of a Christingle? Do you have Christingles in the US? They're looking at me blankly. You don't even know what a Christingle is. You have heard of it, Frank, if you listen to my show.
Maybe I missed that one.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do that. No one's allowed to do that. Right. Hang on. That's not question 8 already, is it?
You're not counting
it. It is. I go back again. How dare you? Question number 9. It says who, but I'm putting an M on there to make myself sound intelligent. Did it work?
No.
Oh, brilliant.
Shh, who do you think you are? Whom was responsible for the ban on Christmas celebrations in England in the 17th century? Whom?
I know it now.
You know it.
Your great auntie told him his name today.
She's not my great auntie. Oh, she's great, and she's my auntie.
Yeah, okay. Your wonderful auntie.
Wonderful auntie. She told you that today, did she?
She mentioned the man's name, and I remember why I knew his name.
There you go. Were you not listening? Did you zone out when my auntie was sharing all her knowledge?
No, but I'm not making the connection.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Okay. Well, this is the last one, and this is just for you guys. Well, it's for everyone. But I picked this question for you. Which of the following is not a real place in Pennsylvania, USA? Bethlehem, Nativity, Nazareth, or Galilee?
Maybe.
Is that going to be a guess, is it?
It's going to be a guess. I know one of them is.
We've talked about, I think, last episode, Bob Baker talked about Bethlehem. And I don't know if there's more than one or if it was Pennsylvania.
There is Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
No, you're helping the people at home. Don't help the people at home. They don't deserve your help. Right. Let's get the answers. Okay, boys and girls, we're coming up with the answers. Now, my wife, who isn't supposed to be part of this, she sort of butted in. She wants to give her answers first because otherwise we're going to think she's just copying the intelligent ones. That's Frank and Shelley and, of course, myself. What?
I meant not on answer. Like, I say it, but it's not recorded.
What? Do I keep pausing it every time you speak? I'm not editing it out. Right. Okay.
Welcome to the show, Carla.
Yeah, that's it. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being part of something. Right. Question number 1. In New Zealand, what sort of tree is popular at Christmas? Come on in, Carla. Come on, smarty pants.
I didn't know that one.
Really? Tell them, Shelley.
I thought eucalyptus.
What did you think, Frank?
The one the koalas eat.
That's eucalyptus.
That one, yeah.
Well done. You both got it completely wrong.
Oh, shoot.
You're allowed to swear on this one. Have another go.
I'm not swearing.
Come on.
I'm not swearing.
Come on, Shelley.
There are young children in this house.
Just a little one. Okay. It's actually a Pohutukawa. How did you not know that?
That was my second guess.
But it was.
Yeah.
Should have gone with your second. Yeah. Let's try and see if I can say that again. Pohutukawa. I spent Christmas in New Zealand. I did not know that. Shame on me. I'll tell you what we had. A fir tree that we cut down. We drove past and cut one down off someone's field. Anyway, question number 2. According to Danish tradition, who decorates your house for Christmas? Carla.
I was going to say the elves.
Who are you saying, Shelley?
I was going to say Father Christmas.
Who are you going to say?
The Yule Lads.
The Yule Lads.
Yeah.
No, that's Iceland. I would have gone Sinterklaas or Father Christmas. It's actually Anise, or A space Nis, N-I-S-S-E. Okay, so boys and girls, I've just Googled it, and it turns out that Anise, I don't know if the A is that it's like the, what's the, if it's an, it's A, as in, oh, for fuck's sake, it's good to say. I don't know if it's Nis, as in it's, oh, it's a Nis, or can we just, right, look, here's the deal. It's a household spirit from Nordic folklore, which has always been described as a small human-like creature wearing a red cap and grey clothing, doing house and stable chores. Now, Carla said it's an elf. Carla, do you think you deserve the point?
Why not?
Really?
Well, no, I suppose. I didn't mean like an elf is in Santa's elves.
We just invented a new one, did
no,
you?
But like those...
What, a Nis?
Those Scandinavian type
like
elves.
Like a pixie,
you know, those weird looking things.
So, Carla, you're my wife. What kind of husband would I be if I didn't give you the point? I'm going to give you the point. I am going to give you the point. Yeah, you're right. You're the closest out of all of us.
Well, Santa's an elf.
He's a right jolly old elf, actually.
So
you're not getting a point, Santa. Nice try, though. That
in
was
our
a good
country,
try.
We have elves that live in a tree and make cookies.
Do you?
Yeah.
What?
Keebler elves.
Where?
In America.
What?
In America, the Keebler elves live in a tree and make cookies.
They make cookies.
Is there
and
a Christmas
sell
thing?
Them.
Is that a Christmas thing?
No.
Oh. Oh. What are you talking about it for then?
It's a marketing.
Are you familiar? Are you familiar with the name of this podcast?
Have you never
Frank?
Seen the movie Elf?
Does somebody put
I am familiar
some
with
liquor
it.
Well,
in
the style?
In the beginning,
they're
talking about all the jobs the elves have.
Yeah.
They say some elves live in a tree. You didn't get that reference at all, eh?
I've watched that film so many times. Yeah, I think because we don't get the reference,
it just
washes over us.
Manufacturer.
There's a company called
Keebler. They have Keebler elves.
Mm-hmm. Can we move on?
Sure.
Well, everyone's fewer. Carla's the only one who scored a point so far. Well done, Carla. What was that? Were you giving me the V's then?
No, I was giving her like, good job,
Carla. Oh, okay. Good job, Carla. Right, here we go. Easy ones now. The next two are pretty easy. In the Nativity story, which angel visited Mary? Carla.
Angel Gabrielle.
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 Gabriela. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? Gabriella?
I don't Gabriel. There we go.
Gabriel.
Oh, I'm so annoyed. I was going to ridicule you and now I can't.
Gabriel.
Go on, Frank.
I'll go with the crowd, Gabriel.
Well, you would have known that, wouldn't you?
Yes, I believe so.
You believe so?
I believe so.
Hmm. Okay.
From the Charlie Brown Christmas special. When he explains Christmas to Charlie Brown.
Mm-hmm. Linus.
Linus does.
Right, I'm taking away your point for that.
Okay.
He does not mention Gabriel.
No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. It's a host of heavenly angels appear.
Okay.
You blew it, Frank.
Okay. Must have been It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, what's the name of the angel in that one?
Clarence.
Yeah.
He talks to Gabriel.
He does talk to Gabriel,
to Gabriel.
Doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Does he talk to Gabriel? Don't you nod your head. You don't. My wife
you
is nodding
that
her head.
Every year.
Yeah, I know, but I don't remember Gabriel being there. Right, where was I? You can have the point, Frank. You've pulled it back. Okay, from which language is the word Noel taken? Carla?
French.
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 And the correct answer is a French. Okay, right, what are we up to? You've scored 3, Carla. You're in the lead. We're all on 2.
Yeah.
Okay, next one then. What is Christmas called in Italian?
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
Okay.
Natale.
That's right, Natale, yeah. We were thinking sort of Bon Natale, but that means Merry Christmas, but yes. Natale. Okay, next one. What is the season leading up to Christmas called? Carla.
I think I was out the room coughing when you read that question, so it's the first
right, well, I'm reading it now. Day. I'm reading it now.
The season before Christmas called?
Yeah, was it? Don't say autumn or fall, because you will not get a point for that.
Like Halloween?
Yeah, because that's a season. Keep going. Isn't my wife clever, boys and girls? I clearly married her for her brains. Hold it in, Shelley. Come on, this is serious stuff. Everyone's. This is. Do you think the listeners want to hear you in hysterics laughing because my wife's an imbecile? The season leading up to Christmas. Come on, honey.
I know.
Yeah, I know you know. We all know, apart from brains in the corner.
I know.
Please edit out my coughing. I don't really understand. The season before Christmas.
Actually, I did say, I gave a clue, didn't I? The 4 weeks leading up to Christmas.
Does
what's that called? Don't give up. Oh,
Advent.
Yeah,
Advent.
Well done. Yeah. No, Frank gave you that one. I'll give you the point because you're my wife, but that's it. If we weren't married, you'd be. Oh. nothing for you. What were you going to say?
I was going to say Advent.
And of course, yeah, because you're intelligent. Okay. And you were going to say Thanksgiving.
Just to spot. The season before Christmas makes you think, like, what do you celebrate before Christmas? Christmas is the season. And then before Christmas, I was trying to think about, I suppose I could have said Thanksgiving, but I...
You know. Really
we cool. don't have Thanksgiving. Yeah,
exactly.
It's a British book.
Yeah.
See, you're just making yourself sound worse, Carl.
You could edit this bit out.
You'd think I could, couldn't you? I could edit it out. Why would I do a thing like that? Right, let's have a guess at how many crackers these kids pulled. Now, it was 2015. Does that help? Of course it doesn't. The world record for the most Christmas crackers pulled in a chain is it 987, 1,000, 1,077, or 1,093? Go.
1,093.
Go.
77.
Go.
1,000 even.
Well done, Shelley.
1,077.
You're the only one. I said 1,093. Well done, because you knew that, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Don't say that. Say yeah. Of course,
but
I did.
I thought it wouldn't just be 1,000.
No.
Right? Because I felt like they needed to go a certain amount over the last one in order to.
Yeah, but that last one was 1,000.
But 1,000 was just too much of a.
Yeah.
But they're British.
An even number.
They love things like that.
Even
we like our numbers.
We like
do
nice,
numbers.
Even, right. round, symmetrical. All tidied up in this spot.
I just feel like you could get loads more people than that to pull a cracker at the same time, couldn't you? Like a continuous line.
Yeah, but you've got to buy a lot of crackers. And all the kids in the school. We don't know how big this school was.
Oh, was it school? Right. I just thought it was like...
A school in London. Do you not even listen to the question? That's why you got it wrong, Carla. Right. Oh, you don't know this one? Let's see if the wife knows, though. Right. Shelley and Frank had no clue about this, but what are the two main components of a Kris Dingle? We've discussed this on the podcast, although I say that, it might be...
Can I see the spelling of it?
Yeah, sure. Carla.
An orange and a candle.
That is correct. So, Kris Dingle is a service, a church service that you have before Christmas. I know I've talked about it on a podcast, but it might be when I was on Merry Britsmas. And you go to the church on Kris Dingle service and you get an orange...
The children do it.
Exactly, yeah. And if you're lucky, the adults might. With a red ribbon around it, which symbolises the blood of Christ, I believe. The orange is the earth. The candle that sticks in the top of it is Jesus Christ, the light of the earth. And then you also get cocktail sticks with raisins on them, sticking out of it. And they, I believe, are the fruits of the earth. Although someone once told me it's the people of the earth. But you don't always get raisins. If you're lucky, you might get jelly tots, boys and girls. You might get jelly tots. Don't know what jelly tots are, do you?
We don't.
Jelly beans. No, not quite jelly beans.
They're like little tiny mini fruit pastels, maybe?
Do you get fruit pastels?
Like a gummy bear?
Not quite. They're round. They're gummy-ish. They're round. It's this. Yeah. Welcome to the Tiny Tots podcast, boys. Total Tiny Tots podcast, boys and girls. Where was I? Right, Frank knows this one, but does my intelligent wife, whom, Carla, whom was responsible for the ban on Christmas celebrations in England in the 17th century?
Oliver Cromwell.
Oh. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, was that right?
It is. I'm furious you got it right.
I did not.
You didn't get it, no. Okay, go on, Frank. Frank knew that, yeah. Thanks to my Auntie Angela. Okay, and the final question. Now, we all had to guess on this one. Well, I say we had to guess. Shelley had an inkling. Which of the following is not a real place in Pennsylvania, USA? We're going Bethlehem, Nativity, Nazareth, or Galilee? Carla, hit it.
Nativity.
Hit it.
I think Nativity as well.
Nazarene.
Nazareth?
Yeah.
Nazarene?
Nazareth.
You blew it, didn't you?
I don't know.
How much have you had?
Two.
And they were really small, boys and
they
girls.
Were quite
and he's
delicious.
Still saying Nazarene.
I must say, boys and girls, Jack, buy some fine whiskey.
Yeah, okay, this is not the Total Fine Whiskey podcast, Frank. You're going off course, and you said Nazarene instead of Nazareth, and you got it wrong, Frank.
Yeah.
It's Nativity, which is what I said as well. Yeah. Okay, let's check out our scores. Add them up in your tiny pea brains. You're not getting a high five from that, Shelley.
I have five. That's my score. Why?
Boys and girls, I scored 7. My beautiful wife also scored 7. Shelley scored 6. How many did you get, Frank?
5.
5, Frank. 5. Anything you want to say about that?
I'm pretty happy.
You are? That's good. That's all. There you go, boys and girls. Because it's the taking part that counts. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that if I'd scored 5. I'd be furious with myself. Did you have fun?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Did you have fun, honeybee?
Sure.
Sure. There you go. High praise indeed. Boys and girls, do not forget to send your score in, okay? Only 10 people last time. I know. After I've recorded this, I'll probably get a few before I released this episode, you blew it. You did it too late. Get in there quick. Send me your scores. Now we're doing this. So, boys and girls, this recommendation is coming from Frank and Shelley. So, Frank, Shelley, what are you going to recommend to my listeners?
The first thing I would recommend is the Salisbury Cathedral in Salisbury, England.
Yep, it's in Wiltshire, which is like the south of England. Yep.
It's absolutely beautiful, and I can't imagine that it wouldn't be a wonderful place for a Christmas Mass.
And I would recommend the Silent Night Cathedral. It's a church, actually, in Frankenmuth, Michigan. It's a recreation of the church where the Silent Night was played for the first time.
Is that right?
Correct. It's at Bronner's.
It's at Bronner's in Frankenmuth.
Yes. Oh, is it?
Yeah, yeah, which Bob Baker mentioned.
He did. You're right, yeah.
Yeah, one of his episodes, yeah.
So did... boys and girls, if you're not familiar with Bronner's, well, you should be, because Bob Baker spoke about it. It's the biggest... It's the biggest Christmas store in the world, or just the US?
I think the world.
It's got to be the world. Yeah. And the church is there.
Right.
And yeah. It's a reconstruction.
Yes. On the first church that was ever, Silent Night was ever played in.
Wow. I'm surprised I've never heard of that. Well, now we have. So there you go, boys and girls. If you're in the UK, you should visit Salisbury Cathedral. Ask for Angela Ford. That's my auntie. You won't get a free tour, but you might get to meet my auntie. She's a delightful lady. Thanks for that, guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Well, that is it for this episode, boys and girls. I really hope you've enjoyed it. You've got to get in touch. You're going to send me your quiz scores. See if you can beat me, the wife, and Frank and Shelley. You know the email address is totalchristmas@gmail.com. Before we go, we've got to say one massive thank you to Frank and Shelley, not just for being on the show, but coming and spending time with us here in the UK. It's been a real pleasure. They're staying for one more day. They're off to Stonehenge tomorrow. Thank you so much for coming on the show, guys. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for having us into your home. It's been incredible.
She says that. She don't mean it.
I do mean it.
She's going to drive out of here.
Your wife and daughters are awesome.
That's probably how you feel. They're going to drive out of here in 2 days' time going, thank God we got out of that pit. I can't believe we stayed there for 4 days. I knew we should have got a hotel.
We're going to cancel our hotel, stay here for the whole 2 weeks.
2 weeks? You're only in it for 1 week. What are you talking about?
Self-employed.
Stay as long as you want.
I'm gonna get a job as a gardener.
That's what all the cool kids are doing. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. Sadly, Frank and Shelley won't be here, but I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you wanna say it?
You know I love you. Happy Merry Christmas.
You blew it. Merry Happy Christmas.
Hey, look. I'm from the U.S. where we say Merry Christmas, so I said the happy first.
And we don't work here.
You don't work here. You don't work here. I'll tell you what, if you did work here, you wouldn't be getting paid anyway. Merry Happy Christmas, boys and girls.
Merry Christmas, you wonderful old...